This morning, Pastor Baker read a little note about the Gideons and a church giving away the Gideon Bibles and having that opportunity to do that. I just think that the Gideons is an amazing ministry. I was a part of the Gideons for years, and I loved it. I loved seeing God work through the Gideon ministry and getting a chance to go pass out scriptures, whether it be at Broome Community or Binghamton High School or in the hotels or on a distribution. That was some great times. But I got kicked out of the Gideons. And when I became a minister, you can't do both. It's a group that is made for lay people so that pastors didn't have that extra. It was supposed to be done professionally by businessmen, and I applaud them for sticking to that and for having the desire to continue that. So the day I got ordained in the church and I had my ordination service, I left the Gideons. That seemed like the best way to get out of a ministry is to go and find a different ministry, and not being able to do both because they said, you know, we can't have that. And I think, but I remember being a part of the Gideons fondly, and that really fits into what I want to talk about tonight and sharing our faith. And so I thought I'd kind of bring that up. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Philemon as we talk about sharing our faith and taking every opportunity, praying that God will give us opportunity. And my key verse here in the book of Philemon is verse 6, chapter 1 and verse 6. If we started in verse 4, it would say, I thank God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And as I read that, as Paul is talking to Philemon, and he's talking, he says, you know, Philemon, when I pray for you, I pray that you will be effective when you have opportunity to share the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's very, very important for us to make sure that we are praying about this, praying that God will give us the words to say, and God will give us things to do. And we talked about praying and investing, and now we're focusing on inviting. So as we begin to share our faith, you know, you're thinking about what you will do to reach out and share the gospel. Pray that God will make you effective, and trust that God will do what He's promised to do, and He will help you to be effective, and He'll help you to share your faith, and that He'll give you those opportunities. We need to coat these things in prayer. And then let's look over in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we're going to look at how we always need to be prepared. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. And when I think about this verse, and always being ready and being prepared, we prayed that God would make our words effective, but we also need to do our part. I think there's a reason that God did not just give us the scriptures that we can download. Wouldn't that be nice if God just gave us the scriptures that we could download into our brain, just pull up any verse at any time, any topic, and God just said, okay, here, just spit out the words. That would be great. But I think there's a reason that God didn't do that. He wants us to get to know Him, to spend time with Him. Mrs. Sampson talked about it when she was up here. She said we need to have spending every day with Jesus. And we need to make that a priority, whether it be in the morning or at night. We need to make sure that we spend that time with Jesus. For me, morning works. And that's my time to spend with Christ, to read His Word, to pray with Him. I mean, I do that. I try to do that at night too, but if I'm not going to miss it, I got to do it first thing in the morning. And when I hop out of bed, that's when I got to pray. That's when I've got to read my Bible. Because if I said, okay, I'll do that at the end of the day after everything else is as worn down, then I might put something else and put something else and put something else. If it's the priority, first thing, nothing can get in the way of the first thing, right? If you're getting up early enough and making sure you're spending that time. But for you, something that might be different. Me, I'm not very good at sleeping, as many of you probably are. You probably have troubles falling asleep and staying asleep and things. So me not being very good at sleeping, getting up, if I find that if I get up in the morning and get that time with God, I'll sleep better at nighttime. If I make sure that I get out of bed in the morning and do that. So that's me. Maybe you're completely different, but make sure that you daily spend that time with God, getting to know Him, learning about Him, and you need to spend time in the Word of God. I was excited this week. We have our More Than Conquerors Bible study. And I misspoke. I said something wrong on Thursday night, and which we all, anybody standing behind a pulpit or sharing the Word of God will do that from time to time. But I was so glad that the people in the Bible study, one of them spoke up and said, I think it's different. And we went back and looked, and yeah, that's good. That's what we need to be doing, right? When it comes to the Word of God. We need to know and know in our hearts what the Word of God says and know where to find these verses and how to help people. And when they have questions, be able to share with them. Or at least you need to know the resources on where you can find them, because sometimes people do come up with some difficult questions. And you need to be able to share your faith. I remember one of the things, when I went away to college, my Bible reading was like this. Okay, God, I grew up in the church, I've heard these Bible stories, I'm going to read the Bible this year. And I went Genesis. This was when I was 17, 18. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to read the Bible this year. Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I got to January 7th. Right? Does that happen to anybody else? Yeah. And then I said, next year, I said, I'm not going to start in Genesis this year. I'll start in Matthew. And I read Matthew, I got to chapter 8 that year. And you know, I try in May and I try in June and everything. But it was one time when I was away at college and I was sharing my faith. And there was someone that came to me and they had a question about the Bible. And they asked me, and I said, I don't know. And I knew it was because I probably hadn't read from the Bible in about 2 months. And I wasn't current on that. And I said, give me a week, and when we meet next week, I'll have the answer for you. And I went home, and I studied, and I looked things up, and do you think I ever saw that person again? Nope. But for me, that was a wake-up call that I always needed to have an answer for the hope that lied within me. And I needed to, and since then, it's been a little bit easier for me to be current in my Bible, because I didn't want that to happen again. And I know that I might make mistakes. I know I might not be able to answer someone's question, but it won't be because I wasn't trying to prepare. And I think that's important for all of us. And let's look at why it's important that we be praying that God will make our opportunity to share our faith effective, and why we always need to be prepared, because we never know when we're going to have the opportunity to share the gospel, and when the time might arise. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. And in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, it says these words: "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword, and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved in your household.'" Do you think that that was Paul and Silas's plan on how to share the gospel that night? I don't think so. I don't think that they had in their day planner, get arrested for sharing our faith, get locked up in prison, and then God's going to miraculously set us free, but we're not going to leave, and we're going to get a chance to share the gospel with someone who's about to kill themselves. Do you think that was on their agenda for the night? No, but they were ready, weren't they? And I was thinking about this. My wife read me something interesting yesterday. And how many of you read about what happened in Hawaii yesterday? About how the news went out that there was a ballistic missile heading towards Hawaii, and everybody got that on their cell phones. Right? Do you think that those people had it on their agenda that morning that that was going to happen? But do you think that maybe, I'm just putting out a hypothetical situation, that some people got that message, picked up their phone, and the first thing that they did after they got that message was call their person, their version in Hawaii of Pastor Baker? Do you think that's what a few people, I think that that might have happened. I'd have to think that if something like that were to happen, and people all of a sudden were seeing that they might, knowing that you're a Christian, come running and saying, "I want to know about your God." It could happen, right? Could happen tomorrow. Maybe a disaster happens, a car accident, and somebody turns to you and say, "My world has turned upside down. I know that you're a Christian and your faith is in God. Help me," right? At that point, will you be ready in prayer? Will you be prepared to share your faith? And if someone comes to you crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" What would you say? Our biblical example of always being prepared, because you don't know what the day might bring, is the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. Also, something that we can do to share our faith is to share a tract or a Bible. I talked a bit ago about being a Gideon. You don't have to be a Gideon to go and pass out the Word of God. It's a good, organized way to get an opportunity to do that, to go out and share the Word of God, pass a Bible out here or there. But you could grab a tract. We've got tract racks over here, and you can take a gospel tract and hand that out. And maybe that might be the thing that will accomplish more than your words ever could. There's something to be said about the personal touch. But as I said, there are so many testimonies of adults who came to a crisis point in their life and they didn't go running to a person. There's lots of those. But there are a lot of testimonies of people who, at a crisis moment in their life, they turned to this book. And it had the answers that they needed. They opened a gospel tract. And that was the thing that they needed. And any one of us can provide someone with a Bible and or a gospel tract and use that. And I came up with some verses to go along with just taking the opportunity to pass out the Word of God or to be involved in that or giving a gospel tract at the right time. And my first one is Psalm 96. So let's turn over to Psalm 96, and let's read verses 2 to 4 of Psalm 96. In Psalm 96 it says, "Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." And we are to declare His glorious deeds to all the nations. I think that's by word and making sure that the Word of God goes out any way. And there are some creative ways that people have shared the gospel. You ever seen those radios that people, you know, they used to send out with the gospel on them? And they used to wind them and it would read the gospel to them. Amazing things. Having the word of God in all languages you could think of and just being able to share that. It gives us many opportunities to give our faith out. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. I love the book of Isaiah. I just think it's such an amazing book that whenever I read it, I am thoroughly excited as I read this book. And Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 is a verse that I've got highlighted and underlined in my Bible. And it says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." The word of God, as we pass it out, as we hand out copies of the Bible, we give gospel tracts, as we share verses of scriptures with our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones. Whenever we give this out, God's got a plan for it. And it's going to do His purpose. Does that mean everyone is going to listen to the book and respond in the best way that they possibly could? No. There will be some that will hear the word of the Lord, and like Pharaoh of old, their heart will be hardened. But do you think that Pharaoh is without excuse today, as he saw all the great miracles of God, the finger of God, as his magicians called it, the mighty hand of God to reach out and save his people? When he stands before God, is he without excuse? No. God gave him the truth. And he had every opportunity to listen and to adhere rightly to it. But he rejected it. And sometimes when we give this book out, people will reject it. But God gave them the opportunity, didn't he? Sometimes people will get this book and they'll respond to it immediately. Sometimes people will get this book or a gospel tract and they'll put it away. And they'll forget about it, and it will gather dust. And it will hide until at the moment that they need it most. And we don't know when that is. They open that drawer, they brush off the dust, they open it up, and God answers our request to God. We don't know His timing and His purpose and His plan, but we have to trust that He has a plan, that He knows that what He is going to do. And thirdly, under sharing the gospel tract, the whole point of the gospel is that it's written, the story of Jesus Christ is written that we might believe. You can turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 20 and verse 31. I'd encourage you, if you want to memorize a Bible verse, this is a good one to memorize. A good one to sketch down on a 3x5 card and pull it out every once in a while and learn it. John 20:31 says, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name." John, when he wrote this gospel, he could have wrote all sorts of miracles, all sorts of things that Jesus had done. He could have spent a lifetime writing about the things that Jesus did on this earth. But his purpose and his agenda, when the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this book, was so that people would believe the gospel and that they would respond to it and that they would get eternal life. So the point of this book, God's point, the reason he gave it to us, is so people would leave reading this book believing. And that kind of brings me to, I said a couple weeks ago, that I was going to share a testimony. And I said that as I was digging through testimonies, looking in books and on the internet, reading people's testimonies of how they came to know Christ, I spent an afternoon just reading people's testimonies, and I couldn't find the one that fit. I read a lot of good testimonies. But finally, in the afternoon, I came to this one. And this is the story of Jordan and his testimony. Jordan was a brilliant young man. He had worked very hard in high school and he had a goal. And his goal was to attend Harvard University studying government. The motto, he in his testimony, he says that the motto of the university is Veritas, which means truth. And he went to this university to study and to learn and to open books. And when he went to school, in November, after he'd been there for a little while, he met a man by the name of John Joseph Potter, a friend about his age, and they became friends, and they would go to the cafe, and they would go and sit down and have conversations. And it started out that they would talk about classes, and they would talk about politics and everything. But gradually, the conversation began to go to religion and philosophy. And he knew that his friend was a Christian, and he was an atheist. And he knew that he was a smart, smart young man. And he had met Christians before. And he'd always been able to get that Christian to just blindly write off the answers. He'd ask the Christian, he'd say, "If you say that your God's omnipotent, that he's all powerful," and he'd say, "Well, how do you answer this question?" And he'd ask them questions like, "If God is omnipotent, could he make a rock that he couldn't lift?" I just think that question. Me personally, I think that question is crazy, but I understand that that could be a real roadblock for some. But to me, it's like you're just begging for an answer that you think is beyond. It's a paradox that you can't get past. And he would ask questions like if God is good, why, and all these questions. And he would ask them, and he said his whole life, Christians had come back with answers like, "Well, it takes a little bit of faith." He said, "I got so mad at Christians when they said that." And he said, John, he didn't just answer with, it takes a little bit of faith. He gave his honest opinions on some of these questions. He had thought about them. He had listened to them. He gave answers that were intellectual. And he didn't shy away. He didn't run from those questions. He began to turn the questions back on Jordan in the halls of Harvard and to ask him questions, to challenge his views on the beginning, on the origin of the universe and how that could have taken place. He began to challenge him on how if he didn't believe in a God and he believed in all things natural, how come he had this sense of moral integrity? He really began to challenge Jordan's thinking. And their conversations went a little bit further and a little bit further. And before you know it, he began to start reading a little bit more. He read books like Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion. But he also read books like C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. He read books by atheists, and he looked at some of the old Christian backbones of our faith, and the people who used to write about Christianity. He began to really take an intellectual journey with his friend John about faith. And all of a sudden, the cross around people's neck wasn't just a symbol of someone's religious affiliation, but it became a symbol of divine love and the answer to his incurable need. He read through the book of John for the first time. And when he got to the story of the cross, the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection, he began to weep. And on Easter Sunday in 2009, he went into a church, and before the pastor even started to speak, he had decided that that was the day he was going to give his life to Jesus Christ. All because someone just started a conversation, was ready and prepared to give him the truth of the Word of God. And I'd like to read to you what, at the end of his testimony, Jordan wrote here. He said, I came to Harvard seeking veritas, the truth. Instead, he found me. And in saying he found me, he meant Jesus Christ found him. Not John. John got it started. John planted the seed. He watered it a little bit. But just that friendship, that bond. In a place where if you think about it, just the world system and atheistic teaching just pouring in. Just a friendship and an honest challenge to what is true really made a difference in one man's life. And we don't know in becoming a friend and striking up conversations what that might lead to. And even a strong atheist might, just by being honest and being prepared and being ready, can make a difference in someone's world. We've talked a lot about sharing our faith and just going out of our way. We've talked about praying, investing in eternity. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We need to invest in the lives of others. And now we've talked about inviting. And sometimes when we talk about sharing our faith and inviting others to Jesus Christ, that can be intimidating. So as we close tonight, I'd like to leave you with one more verse. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Actually, I think I'm going to close. We'll sing our closing song, and then in closing, I'll read those verses to you, just to challenge your hearts as we leave and as we get ready for our meeting, to not shy away from and not to back down from the gospel. So let's sing our closing song. It's number 438, Jesus Saves, and we'll close in prayer, and I'll finish by reading this verse to you. So number 438, Jesus Saves. Stand as we sing the first and fourth verse.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, find the saved and cross the waves. Onward to our Lord's command, mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. When the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation to the name, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves.
Lord, help us to share our faith, pass out the word of God, invite others to come to know Jesus Christ, to be effective in prayer, to handing out tracts, to doing things for others, whether it be mowing their lawn or baking them brownies or going out of our way to do things, to get to know people, to build relationships, and then share the gospel. Pray that you'll help us to be effective in that. I pray for those who are in a long, long process of having a desire to have them come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe a loved one, a family member. I pray that you might help us to see your working hand and that someone we know that we are praying for might come to know you as their personal Savior this year. In Jesus' name, amen. The verses I'd like to close to you tonight are 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God."